All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I decided to kind of change things up a little bit. I was in the beginning just uploading my recorded radio programs to the podcast so that you could catch them there. They're not edited or anything like that, so it gets kind of bogged down a little bit. I'm trying to minister to them, the radio audience, and my podcast audience is obviously going to be a little bit different. So wanted to kind of change it up a little bit, and now I'm not restricted by any time or content, although I'm just going to keep these kind of bland. But we've been talking about regeneration in our Sunday evening services for the last month and a half, 2 months, and then I've been taking those programs and recording them for the radio, and been getting some good feedback on it from the church folks as well, as they are looking at salvation with a bit more scrutiny. And I think it's good to do that. You know, I've been saved for 25 years. I've been taught a lot. I've learned a lot. And I've had to reevaluate a lot of things that I've learned and have been taught over the years. And it's okay to do that. That's not a bad thing. And I think some people are afraid to be examined or do self-examination in light of what the scripture says and then make changes, you know, along the way. I would hope that people that have been saved for any length of time have reconsidered things that they've been taught and looked at them with a bit more scrutiny. Just like a diamond, you look at it under a microscope and you check it in its different angles. You check for flaws and, you know, blemishes and what have you, because you want a perfect diamond. And doctrine's the same way. It's good to look at it under a microscope and reevaluate it. And when it comes to salvation, that's all it is. The doctrines of soteriology are comprehensive. It's not just, hey, I got saved and you move on, get baptized, join a church, go soul winning. There's a body of doctrine that is associated with that that I believe must be taught, you know, whether it's discipleship, Sunday school, or in the morning preaching service. And all that does is build on top of what is already there and strengthens the believer's spiritual life. And regeneration is one of those doctrines that needs to be discussed. And I've gotten a lot of questions over the years from people regarding those that supposedly got saved, but there's no change in their life. And I've also had statements from people who said they were saved and there's been no change in their life and in everything else. And so then we get the other people that come in, well, you can't judge, you can't critique sin and what have you. And this series is not about critiquing anybody's sin. And we're not talking about, you know, getting rid of all your sin in your life. You get rid of what you know to get rid of. And everybody's different in terms of their knowledge of sin and where they're at. And if God's dealing with you about it, then get rid of it. Pray about it, fast about it, and get rid of, you know, what's an offense to God, what you know to be an offense to God. It's not a debate there. We're called to live holy and righteous lives. But we're talking about some other things that will definitely be present when a person has been born again. And we mentioned the new birth. We dovetailed Ephesians 2:1, John 3:3, right into 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature in Christ. You're dead in sins, and now you're born again. You're given life. You have spiritual life. You're not dead spiritually anymore. You know, we talked about being made into the image of Christ. We had the image of Adam in his fallen state before. Now we have the image of the last Adam through the new birth. We talked about the breaking of the reigning power of sin. Now, we're not sinless, but we certainly sin less because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We talked about the impartation of the divine life. That is, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed under the day of redemption. So we have those things present now. Our life has fundamentally changed since we've been born again. And it's going to continue to change until you are glorified. And so today I wanted to talk a little bit about the heart. And this is one of those things that's going to change when a person is born again. And the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. I think the heart is mentioned over 800 and something times in the Bible. And we're told to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We are told that we are given a new heart, and we know that's in Ezekiel chapter 36. And obviously the context there is the prophet's dealing with the people of God, but he is dealing with us as well as far as our hearts are concerned. Our old heart was alienated from God. We were at enmity with God. We had no desire for the things of God. We didn't long to fellowship with God or to pray and talk with God or to be in the presence of God. But now that we are saved, we want to be close to God. We want to be in fellowship with God. We want to walk with God. We want to please God. We have affections for Him that we didn't have before when we were lost. The old heart was sold under sin. You followed the course of this world, and your tendency was toward that which was wicked and sinful, with really no remorse or regard for how God felt about it. But now, being born again, you have a different attitude about sin. I think that's one of those things that people overlook. When you get saved, you're not perfect as far as sinless perfection is concerned, but you have an attitude about sin that wasn't there before. You don't want to do it. You know that it is an offense against God. You know that it contradicts Scripture and it contradicts, you know, that call to holiness that God calls us to. And so you begin praying about it and dealing with it and everything else. So you don't want to live in sin. You have no desire to do that. The natural heart of the old heart was carnal-minded in nature, and the new heart is spiritual-minded. You have new affections now, whereas before you didn't like the things of God, you didn't like the Bible, you didn't have a love or an affection for Christ, you didn't want a fellowship with God, you were drawn to the things of this world, the life that this world had to offer, the pleasures that this world had to offer, and now that you have a new heart, you're spiritual minded, and so your affections are set on things above, your affections are towards things that are pure, right, and holy. And you desire to be around the people of God, whereas before you didn't. You desire to fellowship with the Lord. And even more so, you desire to serve the Lord, to serve in ministry. Like Paul, you know, he got up off the ground there and he said, well, Lord, what will thou have me to do? It wasn't a debate there. There was no time gap. Paul just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think that's a right attitude that a person who has been born again has. You know, the Bible talks about those that have a bad heart or bad attitude, and I think of Romans chapter 1 being one of them. And verse number 21, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Make no mistake, those that are lost will continue downward in terms of their morality, their, you know, depravity, their sinfulness, their wickedness, their rebellion against the things of God. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Now, look at this. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Your heart has changed as a child of God. You no longer have any affections for those things that are vile. Your affection now is for things that are pure and holy and right. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Look, there's a clear contrast here. Those that have foolish hearts, those hearts that have been darkened, they don't want knowledge of God. Why do you think Christians are given such a hard time in today's day and age? Because men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil. They don't want to retain knowledge of God. They don't want to do that because it's a reminder to them how wicked and sinful they are. And then he goes on in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Clearly, there is a difference between these people listed here and what their heart's affections were and what our affections are now that we've been born again. This idea that, you know, the world's kind of putting out there, we're all made in the image of God, we are all God's children, and eventually we're all going to be saved someday, is so far from biblical truth. You know, and even more so, if we come over to chapter 2, and again, some interesting things here, and I want to spend a whole lot of time on this. I'll bring it to a close pretty quickly here. But verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, hardness and impenitent heart. That's the heart of a natural man. That's the heart of a lost man. That's the heart of an unregenerate man. Tell me something. You're a child of God. You're born again, right? Is your heart hardened towards the things of God? And we're talking about evidence of regeneration. We're talking about evidence of regeneration. Is your heart soft toward the things of God? Do you not have a love and affection for God today that you didn't have before you were saved? Of course you do. Notice, impenitent. You know, when was the last time you grieved God through some sin in your life and you didn't deal with it? Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. I've crossed the line. And then claim his forgiveness. And get up, and by faith, believe it, and move on. But notice what happens here with this unregenerate heart. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Contrast of hearts. A person who's been born again, regenerate, has a new heart. That heart now has shifted in its focus and affections. Adores God, loves God, wants to worship God, praise God, glorify God, walk with God, fellowship with God, be at peace with God, please God. That heart that is unregenerate wants nothing to do with God. And will distance itself as far away from God as it can. Regeneration changes the disposition of those that are lawless, godless, and self-seeking to those that are in love with God, that desire to please Him, that desire to be obedient to Him. Glad I'm saved today. And I trust that you are glad as well. We cannot take these doctrines for granted. We can't just brush them off to the side because we don't understand them. We must look at them, examine them, build on top of what we know, revise what we know, strengthen what we know, and as the scripture states, grow in grace and knowledge. It will make you a better Christian. And certainly make you a better servant sharing the gospel, being ready to give an answer to the hope that you have within you, and meekness and fear. These are things that we look at and examine as a people of God from God's book. All right, I'm going to end it there. Take care. Be sure to check back for any updates, and have a good day.